Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are, as always, excited about the opportunity to be able to look into God's Word and to see what He has to say concerning the questions that are on your mind. This is a live call-in broadcast where you set the tone, and we do our best just to let the Bible speak. It is our intent always to stay out of God's way, to stay out of the way of His Word, and let it speak to the subject matters that come up. And so we encourage you right now to go ahead and call in. The number to call here at the station is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. And we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. We hope and pray that for those of you who have been listening over the last several months, and I know many of you have been following us for years, or at least a couple of years now, we do hope that the things that we've shared has been a help to you. And we want to encourage you to listen closely to these things, to go and search them out in the scriptures and make sure these things are so. And if you find that these things are true, then our encouragement from the Word of God is for you to apply these things to your life. That was always God's intent, that we would be much more than just hearers of the Word, but rather we would be doers of the words, not deceiving ourselves. That's God's intent, that we take what we learn and we apply it to ourselves. As we learn better, we absolutely must do better. And so we want to encourage you in that. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 21, it says, "Test all things." Some of your translations may say, "Prove all things." And then it says, "Hold fast to that which is good." And so we test, we prove all the things that we hear from people. There may be other radio personalities are talking about the Bible and talking about God. We prove those things. We test those things to make sure those things are so. And once we test and we find that these things are so, then the Bible says we hold fast to these things. That word hold fast means to not turn to the left hand or to the right, but to be consistent, to be constant in those things. That's our encouragement to you, not just today, but every day as you seek to understand more about the will of God. Go ahead and call us right now. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564.
This is a live broadcast, and so we await your calls and your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the questions that you ask. And thus, it'll be God giving the answer as we go to His Word. It will not be from man. We're going to give you book, chapter, and verse, and we expect and hope and pray that you will hold us to that standard. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if it's not in God's Word, then you should not want to hear it. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "We have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us by glory and virtue." So we need to make certain that we go there in His Word, His knowledge, God's Word, to make certain whether those things are right. If we come up with something new, Galatians chapter 1 says that we will be cursed. Even Paul said, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. So we cannot afford to go to any other place for the answer unless we go to His Word for God's, for the answer. And thus we've got to go to the Bible for the questions that come up in your heart. Now, if you would like to go live, then all you have to do is give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down once you call in and say you would like to ask your question live. Give us your name and then be ready to turn your radio down. Once we start talking to you on the radio, then be sure to turn your radio down. There will not be a confusing echo. Now, if you would rather, you can have it just written down and brought into us. By the way, if you have relatives or people outside this broadcast area, you can call them and let them know that they can tune in via the internet by going to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. Hit the live stream button, and they will be able to listen via the internet. Or if they have a smartphone, they can also go to TuneIn Radio and download that app and then search for WJNI FM here in Charleston. And they also can be with us and call in those questions, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak. Either way, There's no reason to hold back on having your questions answered today on this live broadcast. The text questions are coming in, but the voice line has not lit up yet, so go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308. And by the way, all of our numbers are area code 843. So it's 843-308-9564. That is our voice line, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart, on your mind. And so be sure to don't miss out on this opportunity today. One more little bit of information as we begin our broadcast today. We want you to know that we will be offering a free Bible correspondence course. We are happy to send this to you along with the thousands of others that have received this course. All you have to do is call 553-5157. There will be a computer attendant answer the phone. And all you have to do is to leave your information and you will get the Bible correspondence course in the mail to you this week. It'll be in tomorrow's a holiday, so it'll be in Tuesday's mail. And so you don't want to miss out on this. And so make certain that you get this to you. If you call now, you won't get a busy signal because many times the lines fill up and we're not able to get to everyone. Again, that number for the free Bible correspondence course is 553-5157. And right now there's no one waiting. You can go ahead and call that number, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that information to you. And by the way, you can find it also on our website, which is BibleAlone.com. So now's your chance to go in and call your question, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564, and the lines are now available. 308-9564. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a text question that came in. The last three digits is 143. The question is, what was Jesus Christ's ethnicity? And so we do appreciate that question. What was Jesus Christ's ethnicity? Well, there is a prophecy concerning Jesus that gives us a hint as to what his ethnicity was going to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." And so this prophecy is about Jesus. This was the one that God was going to raise up. We know that with absolute certainty as we look in Acts, the third chapter, Acts chapter 3, verse 22, where it's repeated. And then through the end of the chapter, you'll see that it is talking about Jesus Christ. So that's clear that this prophecy is about Jesus Christ. So he was supposed to be like them. Well, they were Jews. They were Hebrews. And that was going to be Jesus' ethnicity. A $5 word there. He was going to be of them, like his brethren. In fact, Jesus was referred to as the King of the Jews. He was born as a Jew, and he lived among the Jews. Jesus had a kinship with the Jews because that was his, if you will, his people. Those were his brethren. And so he had a desire towards them. He had a desire for them because he was from that group. So to join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That was a very good question. I don't think we've had that question, that specific question asked before. 308-9564, send them to call right now to get your question answered on today's podcast. Go ahead and call right now.
We have a caller by the last or digit of someone texting in this question with the last three digits, 378. And their question is, in the matter of adultery, does the spouse who commits adultery, have an obligation to reconcile to the spouse who wants to stay married? Well, as far as adultery involved with a marriage, you would turn to Matthew chapter 19, and you could read verses 3 through 12, where it talks about that God's intent was for a man and woman to be together for life, the husband and wife. Now, the only exception to that rule, and this is more of an option rather than a command, that the innocent party in verse 9 can put the guilty party away for adultery, verse 9. And so there is the passage that would give that option to the innocent party. But their question wants to know, does the spouse who commits adultery have an obligation to reconcile to the spouse who wants to stay married? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 10, the first few verses deal with the husband and wife obligation to each other to not deprive the other one of the sexual relationship. And starting with verse 10, it says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. A husband is not to divorce his wife. To the rest, I am not the Lord, say, if a brother has a wife who does not believe," and then it talks about a believing and unbelieving being married. And so it talks about the better thing is to remain married. It's not talking about that is the better thing. The better thing is that they would remain married. The book of Hosea is a parallel story of Hosea and his wife Gomer, and how that she was a harlot. Hosea in this parallel story represents God, and Gomer, the wife, represents Israel, and how that Israel, or Gomer, would go and join herself to other men and be unfaithful to her husband. And Hosea over and over again tries to get her to give up her harlotry and be reconciled to him. And so the whole book is about this, the many things that he tried to get her to be faithful. And that is the better picture of what the home should be like. Now, does that mean we do not have the option, if we are innocent in this relationship, that we do not have the option to divorce? No, Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, clearly brings that out, is that is an option that she can do or he can do in this relationship that is given to her by God. And so that is, even though it is an option, it's probably maybe not the best option. The best option is to try and to do just like Gomer did, and somehow, some way, to make the marriage work. And again, that's Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. But know the guilty party, nowhere in the scriptures is it told that they are free to marry again. Let me repeat that one more time. The guilty party, nowhere, Old Testament nor New Testament, are they free to marry again because they have committed adultery. And so only the innocent party is talked about being free to marry again in Matthew 19 and verse 9.
And just another passage that may be helpful as you're thinking about what's good versus the better. I like what Ricky brought out. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16 simply says, "The Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce." And so God hasn't changed his attitude about divorce. He still hates it. And so the better thing is to try to do is to try and reconcile if it's all possible. It is time for us to take our first break. And even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to continue calling in your questions. We do appreciate it so much. And it's very helpful to others that are listening. Maybe you've never called in a question. You've just listened. We hope that you've been benefited by those who are calling in the questions and the scriptural answers that we are giving. Go ahead and call right now while we're at break. 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564. If you wish, you can text in your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back. ...of the Bible Correspondence Course. That, of course, is available to you free of charge. We never charge for anything. That's not our intent. The scripture says, freely you have received, freely give. And that's what we're trying to go by, to make sure that concerning the things of God, specifically His Word, that we're not going to charge anybody for any of those things. The Lord gives it freely, and then we should likewise do the same. And so we encourage you to call the operator standing by if you're interested in signing up for a free Bible study in your home, something you can do in your home. Go ahead and call 553-5157. 553-5157. It's really nothing to be afraid of. We will send it to you in the mail. You'll complete the questions using your Bible. And then once you complete the first lesson, you'll send it back to us. We'll grade it. We'll see you in the next lesson in the series. And again, this is designed to help you grow in the knowledge of God. It's not to try to replace the Word of God, but rather to be a tool or an aid to help you in studying the Word of God. Again, that number to sign up for the course is 553-5157. So join us here at the station. Go ahead and call your question. 308-9564 is the number. 308-9564 is the number to call. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question, and also we've got a text question as well that fit into the same answer. And so let me read the text question first. It says, and this is from the digits 637, the last three numbers. If a woman has divorced her husband because of infidelity, is she permitted to remarry? And then here's a call-in question. A man of God who preaches, so there's a preacher, who has four wives, what does the Bible say about that? Okay. We were talking during the break. We were just commenting on, you know, sometimes, you know, we've been at this here on this station this time now for going on there, almost finishing our fifth year. And we still run into some of your dilemmas that you have to deal with that just causes us to shake our heads. It is just amazing that some of the things that people will do and think that God would condone some of those things. And so this is one of them again. And so it's just, first of all, it's against the law, Romans chapter 13. We're supposed to keep the laws of the land. But still, here's God's answer. In Matthew chapter 19, I'll just go ahead and read it. And those of y'all that have marriage questions about marriage and divorce, all of the answers are contained right here so that we don't have to continually read this throughout the broadcast today. So go ahead and write it down. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read? And that's what I would encourage people to do today. Have you not read? Let's read it. So grab your Bible, make certain that you read this. Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? He's quoting from Genesis 1 and verse 27, which goes on to say, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, not three, not four, and not five. The two shall become one flesh. Now that's a quote from Genesis chapter 1. Now he goes on to add in verse 6, so then that they are no longer two, but one flesh. I mean, not once, but twice it mentions two becoming one. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, Jesus adds that. What God has joined together, let no man separate. So that's God's answer. No, divorce is never good. That's not a good thing. Whenever two are joined together, they should understand this is for life. Well, then the disciples came back and asked him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? Okay, there's the question, the second question they ask him. Here's his answer. Verse 8, he said to them, Moses, because the hardness of your hearts permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. Is that plain? Is everybody with me in this so far? God never intended for that to be the way marriages should be. God never intended for that. Verse 9. I say unto you, just like he said up earlier, he says, you know, that therefore what God joined together, so he adds something here to it, verse 9, Jesus himself says, whoever divorces his wife, I'm going to skip the next phrase if you're reading along with me. I'm going to come back to it. Whoever divorces his wife, I'm skipping, and marries another, commits adultery. Whosoever marries her that is divorced, commits adultery. Now, the gender is swapped in Mark chapter 10. So just wanted you to know that it's just not men to women. It is both ways. All right. Now, let's go back and add that exception. He says that's the rule, and that's the way Mark and Luke puts it. Matthew here does add this phrase. I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. So that is the exception. Hopefully that is plain. It is one of the clearest passages in the Bible. What makes it complicated is all of the perverted, actually sometimes, many times, the perverted situations that we get ourselves into. There's the rule. Well, now here's what the disciples said in response to this. Well, if such is the case with a man and his wife, it's better not to marry. Okay? You know, Jesus acknowledges this. Look at verse 11. All cannot accept this thing, but only those to whom it is given. And now notice what he brings up. Verse 12. There are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb. And by the way, if you don't know what that word means, go look it up in a dictionary. And then he says, there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. Okay? And there's a third category. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, that would be Paul. Paul chose never to marry so he could serve the Lord without the difficulty of a family. And then he adds this phrase, and listen closely, everyone, because sometimes this discussion on the radio turns to where that people are going to try and find the exception to this rule. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how many difficult situations we may come up with, this is still right here in Matthew chapter 19. And here's how Jesus answers the whole situation. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Wow. He knew this was going to be difficult. They knew it was going to be difficult. But nevertheless, that's what God says. That's what we must live by. And that's what we're going to be judged by. No matter how convoluted or difficult the situation we may have put ourselves in already, it may be, as Jesus adds there, we just might have to make ourselves a eunuch in order to go to heaven. He that hath ears, let him hear. Thank you so much for your questions. I believe in verse 5 we answered the question about the four wives, and the verse 9 we answered the one about the innocent party from the text question. And so there's your answers. We sure appreciate your question. And we want to thank you for calling in such difficult questions like that. And what makes it so difficult is because of the mixed up situations we have gotten ourselves into by not listening to our Creator on what kind of home and family we should have put together to begin with. Thank you so much for your question. I hope that's been helpful to you. I'm sorry I took so much time on that, but hopefully we won't have to refer to this again. But here it is. That was the passage, Matthew chapter 19. It's time for our next break, and hopefully we'll have some more subjects right after this break. We want you to know while we are at break, we are can still receive your questions, so continue to call them in. 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. And pray that you are being blessed by the answers. And we hope and pray that you are taking advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course. You know, one of the best things about that is you'll get it in the mail. It's absolutely free. And you can take it. You can let it sit on the table and collect dust. You know, we need more dust collectors. No, I'm kidding with you. What I want you to do, what you should do is to take it, read it, study it, fill it out, and then send it back in the mail so that we can correct it and send it back to you if it needs correction. And we will be glad to send you the next lessons after you send that back. And so it'll be back and forth, and thus it is a course of study. And we are more than happy to make certain that you get this in tomorrow's mail if you want to enroll. That number again is 553-5157, and we are happy to be able to send it to you. One more time, the voice line is 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak. The text line is 725-9283. Go ahead and communicate your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, we have a call calling in. The caller says that, as far as I can tell, that she may be a prostitute and wants to quit but needs the money. How do I quit? Well, caller, we do understand how difficult this must be, especially when you're trying to get away from a sin. And the Bible does call it sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 talks about fornication, which would absolutely, prostitution would fall into that category. And the Bible says that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so one of the things that you should be focusing on is, you know, if I continue in this, that I am not going to inherit the kingdom of God, which means I'm going to get just the opposite. So just keep that in mind, that there's nothing on the planet Earth worth going to the other side, which is hell. And that what we really want in this life is to be able to go to heaven. Well, how do I do that? Well, it's clear that God is saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 that if a man does not work, he shall not eat. So it's clear that you have to work. We all have to work. But God is calling us to be different. God is calling his people to come out of things that perhaps they used to do once they embrace him, and not to continue in those things. And it may mean that I have to give up some things to maintain a simple lifestyle. What God promises in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we go back and we look further up in that text, and what we'll see is that he's telling them, don't worry about food, don't worry about what you're going to drink. He says, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. God will provide the basic necessities of life. And again, what comes out of Matthew chapter 6 in verse 29, verse 30, is things like clothes and things like food. Those are things that God has promised. In verse 31 and 32, you look in that area, he's going to provide those things. But sometimes our lives are much more complex. Like we have, you know, a significant car payment, or we have house payments, or we have credit cards, and those things have to be paid. And so we feel like I have to continue in this thing that I really don't need to be continuing, and that God doesn't want me to continue in. And so what you have to do is you have to simplify your life and trust God that he will provide for you the things that you need. And in that, you don't have to depend upon a job that you should not be at. God is saying absolutely we have to work, but he wants you to come out of anything evil. Look for a moment at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, this text is talking to Christians and telling them that they're supposed to change. In fact, if we look at verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. He's talking to Christians. He's saying you got to change. In verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. Notice that he tells the person that used to steal, don't steal anymore. Now you need to work with your hand what is good. You need to make sure you find a labor or work that is good. We have to change, ladies and gentlemen. And so to the caller, while I am absolutely, we understand the difficulty it is of having bills and things of that nature and obligations that you've made, in no way is God saying it's okay to continue in sin, but rather you have to come out of those things. And it may mean that you have to give up a certain lifestyle in order to accomplish that. And a lot of it has to do with trusting God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you would like to talk further about this, feel free to call the operator standing by at 553-553-5157. Thank you. I drew a blank. And someone will make themselves available to sit down and talk further to you about this. 553-5157. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have three quick questions here that we will talk about right quick. Again, make certain that you enroll in the course today, and the caller that we just sent to the 553-5157 number, know that that is a computer answering the phone, and just go ahead and give your information and what it's about, and we will call you back as we get that. And so that'll be later on this evening or early tomorrow. And so be sure that you give that information. While I'm talking about that, we do want everyone to know that if you would like to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or in your community, we would be more than glad to make those arrangements. Just go ahead and call that same number, 553-5157, and give us your information. We'll call you back and make those arrangements, and thus you yourself can allow your friends and family, if you have 5 to 10 friends or family in your community or in your family that you can get into your home, and we would be glad to come and answer those questions live there in your home or in a community center or whatever you would like to arrange. Just go ahead and call 553-5157, give us your information, and we will call you back and give you, or we can work out all the details on that. We have this caller calling in this question. They said, the scripture is about marriage. Again, please repeat. We went over Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. Connected with that same subject again, the caller calls in as we talked about Hosea and Gomer. The caller makes a comment, Gomer never was told to go back. Why? Well, let me encourage you to turn to your book of Hosea, to the book in the Old Testament of Hosea, and you will see in chapter 2, she was not only told to go back, but he pleads with her in verse 2, bring charges against your mother, bring charges, for she is not my wife, and so he pleads with her, verses 2, and then in verse 3, he says, if you don't repent, if you don't come back, then I'm going to strip her naked and expose her as in the day that she was born. He threatens her to cut off support. Then he tries, starting with verse 6, I know what I'll do. I'll confine her. I'll build a hedge around her with thorns. I'll wall her in. That way she can't go to her harlotry. What does that sound like? Is he trying to get her back or what? Well, then beginning with verse 7, his heart kind of mellows a little bit, and he says, he's got hope. Maybe she will remember all the good that I have done to her, and I'll go with her as if at first, and then she will remember, and she will come back, and I'll multiply her silver and gold. I'll reward her, and hopefully she'll stay faithful to me then. Well, then, beginning with verse 14, you see in that same chapter, this is Hosea 2:14, he offers to give her a new honeymoon. Therefore, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and comfort her. Yes, he was doing everything within his power to try and get her to be faithful to him. And that was why we mentioned earlier, that is the more noble thing to do, to try everything within power to make the marriage work. But sometimes that just does not occur, and they will not accept it, and they will continue in them going after another strange person and committing adultery, and thus divorce is the option that God gives in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Again, one more question about this. This person was personally divorced for beating. What could I have done other than divorce? Well, that is a situation that I have seen as well, and I understand that. And so to that answer, I would direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, as we turn there, I want you to know that in this passage, Remarriage is never discussed in this chapter. Remarriage is never discussed. So please note that. You can read through the whole chapter. You'll never see the idea of marrying again ever mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so when it says in verse 8, it says, "But beginning with verse 10, it says, Now to the married I command, not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to the husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." And so there the situation says, well, if that is the case, then it just says to remain unmarried. If the divorce, the separation was not because of adultery, then it does not give you freedom to be married again. And so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. Thank you so much for your question. We are so thrilled to be able to direct you to the Bible, and hopefully that is a benefit to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick, do you have another question?
I do. Ben calls in today about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, and he wants an explanation concerning this verse. Well, Ben, I encourage you to look back at verse 1 of chapter 13. I'm not going to read verses 1 through 6, but I want to highlight that there is a context that follows. Here you have the Hebrew writer giving these Christians encouragement to do certain things. And so there's kind of a listing of things that they should do. In verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. In verse 2, he says, do not forget to entertain strangers. In verse 3, he says, remember the prisoners as if chains were with them. Verse 4, he talks about marriage and how that is honorable among all, in the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And then in verse 5, the verse that you asked about, he gives them something else to consider. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the final portion of this letter, this Hebrew letter, what we typically call chapter 13. And so in finishing, he's giving them a list of things that they should do. And one of the things he tells them that they need to do is that they need to let their conducts, or what your translation may say, conversation, but the Greek word there means conduct, let their conduct be without covetousness. That word covetousness literally means it is an over-eager desire for wealth. And so the opposite of contentment, which he tells them, he says, but be content with such things as you have. The opposite of contentment or being satisfied with what God has given you is covetousness, this over-eager desire for wealth. And he says you shouldn't be that way. We have to, all of us have to be people who are satisfied or content with what God has given us. And why? Because God himself in this text, and this is what God is telling these Christians, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God's going to be on our side, if God's going to provide for us, that should be enough, no matter our circumstances, no matter the situation that we are in. If God is with me, who can be against me? And that should be what motivates us to be content and satisfied with the things that we have. Ben, I sure hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take another break. And even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. That number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564, or feel free to use our text line. You can text in your question at 725-9283. 725-9283. We'll be right back. I want to encourage everyone to take advantage of the correspondence course that's available to you, that's always available to you. Go ahead and call the number 553-5157. I'm in the habit of saying the operator standing by because at one time there was an operator standing by, but now there's a recording. So you call and you just leave your information, and we will get the Bible study out to you in the mail. Again, that's 553-5157. If you've been talking about, getting back into the Word and trying to get a better understanding Certainly listening to this broadcast, I think, will be a help to you, and that we give out a series of scriptures that you can go and you can check out. But also the Bible Correspondence Course, that will be something that you can do at your own pace. So we encourage you, again, to take advantage of that. Go ahead and call 553-5157. And also on our website, www.BibleAlone.com, we have previously recorded broadcasts, so you can go there and you can listen to our previous recordings at your own pace. And again, you can use that as a tool for studying. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that as well. And then certainly you have the opportunity right now to call the radio station with your question. That's a tool for you to help you grow in the knowledge of God. So we encourage you to go ahead and call right now. 308-9564 is the number. 308-9564. You call and give us your question, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We also want you to be aware of, if you are so inclined and you've got friends and family that you would like to personally have to benefit from an event like this, if you live in this area, in the Charleston area, just call the number 553-5157 and make a request to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or in the location of your choice. And we will do our best. We'll call you back to make those arrangements, and we will be able to work out a time and a location of your choice for you to invite your friends and relatives in. And we will go to the Bible for all the questions that are asked pertaining to life and godliness. It is our honor to be able to serve this way. And so please do not miss out on this opportunity. Again, the number is 553-5157. And request to host a Let the Bible Speak. And we will call you back and make all those details. We have, now right now, there is one line available. Go ahead and call 308-9564 to call in your question. Or, again, you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. We have a caller calling in this question, wants to know about pay, salary, budget, travel for the pastor, insurance, gas to and from church, and hotel fees. What does the Bible say? Well, that's the good way to end the question, always. What does the Bible say? Or what does God say in His Word? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, as I read this, I can't help but feel within my heart that when you hear what we're about to read, that it may be taken in a way that really is so abused today that it may be taken the wrong way. Here's in verse 14, it just simply says, "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now, the up to this point, this chapter has been talking about comparing preachers to oxen that are treading out the corn, threshing a field. But it does not say that they are to be lifted up to where that they become deified, that they are treated like gods or deity, to where that they have their own personal servants that wait upon them hand and foot. There is nothing in the Bible that says that. We do not see Jesus nor the apostles ever treated to where that they are, where the rich man on the block or the higher society than anyone else. Matter of fact, he said, "I am lowly." The apostles, even though some of them started wealthy in their service to the Lord, every one of them ended poor. And so serving God is not a physically profitable, enriching event. Okay, now I know many of you are scratching your head right now. Well, I want my preacher to look good. Why? Why? What's the motivation for that? You just think about what is the motive there? Is it not pride, which is a work of the flesh? A love of the world? The pride of the heart? No, it is not about, should not ever be anything carnal like that. Now, does that mean we should starve them to death? No, the Bible says
Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live the gospel. A worker is worthy of his hire, also brought out in this passage. So a person should get paid for their labor. But to deify them or to lift them up higher than anyone else in the congregation, you do not see that even named among the apostles. I'm going to scoot real close to the microphone just in case you didn't hear that. They are not to be lifted up higher than anyone else. The apostles did not even allow themselves to be lifted up that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Matter of fact, notice all of the writings of the New Testament. Whenever they refer to themselves as an apostle, it is never in title form. Have you ever heard someone say, the apostle Paul said? Well, that right there is just not in the Bible. It was Paul called to be an apostle, used as a description, not as a title. The only person that gets titles in the kingdom of God is the Lord himself. And now let's hear from him. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus says, all power or authority, depending on your translation, is given to me in heaven and on earth. That settles it. Now, will we believe it? Again, the number is 308-9564. There's one line available. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have another question?
Yes, we have a call calling in asking a question about gifts and talents. According to Matthew chapter 25, the question is, will God hold it against you if you don't use your talents for him? Well, the specific text in Matthew 25 picks up around somewhere around verse 14, and it goes on through verse 30. And so you have this parable or illustration given by Jesus concerning these talents. Now, some people read the word talent here to refer to actual talent, like I have this special talent. But that's really not accurate when you look at the text. I'm going to show you that. But inside this text, it is talking about our talents or our abilities. And so to make sure that we understand this correctly, look at Matthew 25 and verse 14. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, and he delivered his goods to them. And so I want you to keep in mind that here you have this master, he's delivering his goods to his servants. And verse 15, the Bible says, and to one he gave five talents. And so the five talents here doesn't represent ability, it represents his goods. These are the goods that he's given to a servant. To another he gave two, to another he gave one. But now he gave it to them, the Bible shows us, based upon their talents or based upon their abilities. He says, to each according to his own ability. He gave it to them based upon their own ability. And so the talents are just maybe represent the goods of the master, and each of them already had ability. One had the ability to do something with five, one had the ability to do something with two, and one had the ability to do something with one. What's the most telling thing about this text is that they all had ability to do something with the goods of the master. Well, as we continue reading the text, what we'll see is that the one that had five, he went out and he got five more. The one that had two, he went out and he got two more. But the one who had one talent, and he had ability to do something with it, he did not do anything with it. And so here's what God says to that person who has ability to do something with the goods of the master. In verse 25 of Matthew 25, he says, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He was delivered one, and he gave one back in return. In verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposit. Now, verse 27, when he says you ought to have, he's saying to him, you had ability to do something and you did nothing. And that was the problem. He always had ability to do something and he did nothing. In verse 27, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If God has given you ability to do something with his goods, and his goods today is the word of God, if I do absolutely nothing with it, then I can be assured that in the day that I stand before him, I'll have nothing. He expects us to do something with it. The question is, will I be punished? Notice what he says to this servant in verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe that settles the matter. Very good question. Thank you so much for calling in this question. I think it's very helpful to us. Look like it's time for us to take yet another break. So while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. The number to call is 308-9564. 308-9564.
Please know the information that we're about to give you is free. It is an offer that we are glad to send to you in the mail. It'll be in the mail. I guess Tuesday's mail, being tomorrow's Labor Day. But we're glad to send this to you, and you may discover things in God's Word that you have never seen before. Yes, it's been there the whole time, but the God of this world, the devil, has had such inroads into many modern religions to where you're only hearing part of the story. My friends, may I borrow an expression that was famous years ago? Don't you want to know the rest of the story? Then go ahead and enroll in this course. Here's the information on that. If you already have the course, continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak.
Again, there's no strings attached. The only thing, our hope and prayer is that it will aid you in your study of God's Word, so much so that you have a better understanding of His will and His way, and that you're doing what He says His way, and that if there is error in your life, or if you're being taught error, that the Word of God will give clarity to that so that you'll be able to see the way you need to see and be able to make the changes. Those are only strengths. What God wants is our soul, and He wants it to be saved. And that is our heart's desire as well. So go ahead and take advantage of the free correspondence course. The number to call is 553-5157. 553-5157. So join us right now here at the station with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in this question. They said, clarification, divorce, and stay single, question mark? Doesn't God want us ever to be happy and sexually fulfilled? Huh. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what God says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornication and adulterers God will judge. Now we have the answer to that question. Yes, He wants that activity to be done in marriage. As God defines marriage, my friend, remember Matthew chapter 19, where two come together to become one. And what God has joined together, let no one separate. And so there is where the marriage bed is undefiled in marriage. But any other sexual activity is fornication, maybe adultery if they've already been married. And that says God, those individuals, God will judge. Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. I would also direct you to look at and be familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And there he spells it out even further, that no kind of sexual activity outside of a rightly married husband and wife is condoned of God, and they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So again, the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and Hebrews 13 and verse 4. And so, yes, he does, but only between a husband and wife that are truly married to each other. Nick, do you have another question?
Yes, we have a text question. The last three digits, 113, says, is faith in a bodily resurrection, is faith in a bodily resurrection necessary for salvation? We were having some technical difficulties with the phone. So when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what you find is that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and one of the things he starts off with is with the gospel. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, in which you have received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so then what's clear is he says, here's the gospel, and part of the gospel is, in fact, the bodily resurrection of Christ. Now, there were some in this day, in the day of Paul, that questioned a bodily resurrection. And so when we jump to somewhere around verse 12, Paul says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's our question. If I don't believe in a bodily resurrection, you know, can I be saved? Well, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, if you turn around and say that there is no, that the dead does not rise, how do you explain Jesus Christ? In verse 13, he says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, he says, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom, according to you, is the idea, he did not raise up, if in fact the dead does not rise. The moment we say that I don't believe in a bodily resurrection, then how do I explain the resurrection of Christ? And I get rid of the body, the resurrection of Christ, that means I'm still in my sin, and thus even the apostles, thus the writings of the apostles, are all false. In verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, talking about those who have died in Christ, he says they have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. And let me put it another way. If in this life we only believe in Christ, that is to say, I die tomorrow and there's no hope of a resurrection, no hope of a bodily resurrection, then he says, then we are of all men most miserable, some translation says, because I have a false hope. There's no hope. Why even believe in Christ if when I die tomorrow there is no resurrection? And so absolutely I have to believe in the resurrection in order to believe, in order to be saved. Because that's the only way I am truly accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
We have this caller calling in this question. Why do people call men pastors? Well, thank you for your question. We sure appreciate you and all those of you that have called in questions today. That is an honor to be able to go to the Bible and help you to find the answers to those things that are dealing with life and godliness. Well, the word pastor is a word that is used to describe men that have been qualified and selected by a local congregation to be able to serve in that capacity to oversee the flock of God. I'll give you a couple of passages in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. He addresses the elders. Verse 2, he refers to them as shepherds, and or the King, Old King James says feed. It is the Greek word poimen, and they are to shepherd, feed, take care of the flock of God among you, to serve as overseers. There's the Greek word episkopos. So our bishop, to serving as bishops, overseers, shepherds, pastors, and elders. All of those terms refer to the same group of men. And so, but now as you look and see all of these names that are applied to them throughout the New Testament, none of them are called by those terms with titles, nor even the apostles are referred to as apostles by title. I just turned to the first book that I was at, and for example, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he didn't even refer to himself, nor did the scriptures refer to him as the apostle Paul. It was not a title. There's no such thing as rank in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 11 and 12, there were some calling themselves after apostles, and such as Paul and Peter and Cephas and Apollos. They were calling themselves after them. However, they were rebuked for that. He says, "Was Paul crucified for you?
Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And, of course, he rebukes them for such as that. They are not to align themselves or call themselves after such a men at all. The only one that should receive glory to call ourselves after and to be disciples of would be, that's correct, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when you look and see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says that when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech, declaring unto you the wisdom of God, that you would not call yourselves after men. He rebukes them even in chapter 2 and verses 5 through 7. He says, we are nothing and Christ is everything. And the glory in all of the glory should be given to him. A follow-up question that just came in says, why do men call pastors reverend? Well, you're going to have to ask them that, because when we let the Bible speak, the only time the word reverend is used in the Old King James Bible is in Psalm 111 and verse 9. And here's the only place the word reverend is used in the Old King James Bible. Mind you, I have to go there for the word. And the only place it's used in the Bible, listen, says, He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Caller, I agree with you. It just makes me sick at my stomach to see there are individuals out there that will call themselves holy and reverend and many other titles to be lifted up among men. Some will even wear special garb or robes or significant outside appearances just so that they can have respect of men. My friend, God said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They should be seeing God, not the outward countenance of men, so that they can have the praise of men. That whole kind of attitude is rebuked in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus just puts it this way. They have their reward. Oh, I hope you agree. So let's make certain that God alone, Christ, what he did, gets all the glory and honor. For he himself says, all glory and power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Let's see, looks like here's a third follow-up question. Should pastors, deacons, evangelists use capital letters, P, D, and E? Well, it's not that way in the Bible. It's not used as a title. And if we're going to speak as the Bible speaks, then I wouldn't do it today either. Thank you so much for your question. Time for us to take our last break. We want you to know that we are honored to be able to be in your presence and that you are listening. And hopefully you're not listening to us, but rather listening to God. He's the one that's going to have the final say. It will not matter what either one of us behind the microphone here says today, unless you're listening to it from God's word. And then it has eternal implications. Well, the truth is it'll have eternal implications whether you listen to it or not. It's just we might not like those implications. So let's find out what God says right now. Why not go ahead, get the Bible correspondence course, see what you can learn in God's word that may not be exactly right out there, and just see what God says, because you know if we wait till judgment day, it is too late. And if we have missed the mark, either by oversight or someone leading us down the wrong path, it's best to find that out right now so that we can make corrections. So go ahead, get the correspondence course, study it, and make certain that you're not missing out on the eternal blessings that a loving God wants you to have. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157. Let the Bible speak in your heart, in your home, at any time you choose, and we are glad to send it to you absolutely free. We'll be right back. And call that 553-5157 to get that correspondence course to you. And it'll be in our mailbox at least tomorrow. It'll go out in the mail Tuesday.
And so we're glad to be able to send this to you absolutely free. One more request. If you have an interest in hosting a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or community, then go ahead and call and give us that information. And be sure to request, I want to host a Let the Bible Speak. Do that in the recording. And we will be in touch with you about that. Again, that number is 553-5157. And we're happy to send this information to you or make those arrangements. Again, this is the last 15 minutes. Go ahead, hurry. Call in your questions right now, 308-9564. Nick?
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 081. Says, what does many are called but few are chosen mean? So very good question for us. When we look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, that's where we find that verse. It is part of a text, and so I will do my best just to kind of describe the text as quickly as I can. If we go back to Matthew 21, what we see is towards the end, in verse 45 and 46, the Bible says, now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, talking about Jesus' parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hand on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So Jesus was speaking parables. And in chapter 22, this particular verse is part of another parable that Jesus is continuing to speak. And so he was talking in these parables about these religious leaders, about the Jews, about the Pharisees. These were the religious leaders. And what he says to them in this second parable, where your verse that you're asking about is part of, he says the kingdom in verse 2, this is Matthew 22, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Best I can understand, he's still talking about these religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews, and he gave them opportunity to come to the wedding, but they would not come. In verse 4, again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding, or come to the feast, is the idea. And this initial calling was to the Jews, and they were to come, but they did not come. Verse 5 says, but they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his own farm, another to his own business. And verse 6 says, and the rest seized his servants, they treated them spitefully and killed them. And this is a description of the Jews in the first century, during the time of Christ, and even during the first century church. They rejected the truth, although they were invited to the feast. And so because they rejected it, then he went and he invited, well, just anyone. And that's Gentiles. And thus the kingdom was going to be open for everyone. But just because you were invited to the feast did not mean you were going to be selected. You had to be dressed a certain way. And so in verse 12 and verse 11, it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And thus the gospel is open to everyone. Salvation is open to everyone. But we all have to be wearing the proper garment. And that garment, if you will, is Christ. We put on Christ. And if we don't have Christ on when the king comes to select those who are going to go into his kingdom, then I'm going to be cast out if I'm not dressed appropriately. I believe it's Galatians chapter 3, verse, help me out, Ricky, verse 27, talks about we put on Christ through baptism. Was that
yes,
verse 24?
Verse 27.
Verse 27. Galatians 3, verse 27. We put on Christ, or we're clothed with Christ in baptism, and so we have to be dressed appropriately. Let me give you one other passage. In Acts 13, chapter and verse 46, essentially you have Paul preaching again to the Jews, Paul and Barnabas. They rejected the message, and so then they say, because you judge yourself unworthy, behold, we go to the Gentiles. God gave the Jews opportunity to obey the gospel. They were invited to the feast, but during this time period, they rejected it, and thus the message was taken to the Gentiles. I hope that's helpful, and the lesson for us, that message is now open to everyone here, everyone on the radio program that you're listening, everyone in the world. The gospel is open to everyone, but if I rejected it, then he will also reject me.
We are glad to be able to be with you today. We hope and pray in the few minutes we have left that we can continue answering your questions. You go ahead and call in your question right now. We've got 6 minutes left. Call in your question at 308-9564, 308-9564. This question is, when does a boy become a man? When does a boy become a man? Well, the caller, I'm sure you would like for me to give you a number, an age, and something along this line, but the truth is the New Testament does not give such an age as that. Now, there were ages in the Old Testament where it talked about they cannot go to war until certain ages and such, but we do not live under that civil law of the Old Testament. We live under law to Christ, and the New Testament just does not give an age of when someone becomes a man. And so I cannot speak because the Bible does not speak on such a subject as that. Now, does God recognize a man and a responsibility along this line? And yes, of course, women are told to teach children. They are told to speak to and teach the younger. In Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, it says, older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so there it talks about women teaching the younger. And so it is a matter of that, certainly. Mothers are supposed to be involved with the nurture and admonition of their children as well, as far as specifically mentions husbands there. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 and Colossians 3 and verse 21, that they are supposed to be teachers in the home. And certainly that is the case. And while I'm thinking about this radio audience, I do want to encourage you. Not long ago, I had a Bible study with some couples, and I brought out how that God expected the men and their role in the home. And as I went over a couple of things that the Bible said, some jaws dropped. And I just could not believe that I saw these jaws drop open. Now, the passage was 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, where God instructs the men that they are responsible for taking care of their family. In chapter 5 and verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially of those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, infidel, old King James says. And so when I brought out that it is the man's responsibility to provide for the home, their mouths just flew open. Really? They could not believe something like that. And I could not believe their reaction to something like that. But we live in a day and a time where society seems to have gotten so far away from the biblical organization that God has for the home that it is absolutely amazing how far we have strayed from the path of righteousness that God had intended for our homes to be built and His church to be built by. And then there was another event where this occurred, talking about the home. It says that fathers, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the training and admonition of the Lord. Yes, that said fathers. Wow. You mean it is the man's job to make certain that the children are brought up to serve the Lord? It's not the woman's job? It says man, men, husbands, fathers. They are the ones that's responsible for that. Wow. That is so amazing, isn't it? Hopefully your mouth did not drop open just now. Hopefully you've known that for a long time. And hopefully your home is built that way and that there is the man responsible, taking care of financially, and as far as instructing, they are responsible for their homes. Now, that helps with this question. When does a boy become a man? Well, when he's ready to accept those responsibilities, I would say.
So hopefully that is of benefit to you. That was Ephesians 6, verse 4. Parallel to that is Colossians 3:21, and then also 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Those are responsibilities given to the man in the home. It is time for us to end our program today. We are honored to be able to have been in your presence, and hopefully you have been blessed by what God says in His Word. Hopefully you are seeking after the true happiness and joy and fulfillment that only God can give. My friends, it will not come from seeking after physical things or money or even position in this life. That is not fulfilling. It will only come by yielding to our Creator's touch, obediently loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learning also in the process to be content with such things as we have and to seek after the eternal above all. To find the answers, you cannot find them in church doctrine. You cannot find them in your emotions or feelings. Your pastor may not be the right source either. All the answers that pertain to life and godliness will only come from the Word of God. My friend, what we must do is let the Bible speak.